Air Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, welcome back to the programme. Lots of messages coming in to us, which we'll catch up on in a few moments' time. I want to go back to an issue we've been covering for quite some time, and indeed we spoke about it on the programme earlier in the week, and that's the ongoing situation at Castletown House. And joining me this morning is Suzanne Clifford from the Gate Protector Group, Jay Power, SIP2 official, and Trasa Keegan of the Save Castletown Committee. And Trasa is with us in studio, Jay and Suzanne on the phones. Trasa, we might start off with you then, and we spoke to you earlier in the week because the four Kildare North TDs, James Lawless, Rhéda Cronin, Catherine Murphy and Bernard Durkin, as well as Green Party Senator Vincent P. Martin, met the new minister with responsibility for the OPW, Kieran O'Donnell. Did we get any update or any more information on how that meeting went and what was relayed to him?
Well, I can tell you what was relayed to him, because, I mean, that messaging has been coming through the Save Castletown Committee. It's been filtering throughout the community for several months. What they would have been representing is that we absolutely have to get the problems solved, that we need to stop this, you know, navel-gazing that's going on, and that we need a minister who's going to listen right into the community. So I would expect fully that that message was conveyed. You know, each of the five elected representatives that were in that room have a different angle on things. They have a different strength on things. And I think it would have been... I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that meeting, because I know how across it they are. You know, I know how much they're involved with the communities and in touch with people. So I expect by now, Minister Kieran O'Donnell has had quite a brief from the community. But in terms of right now and updates since then, we are at a moment of pause. We are holding on, and we are trying to just wait and see what happens next Tuesday. It's a crucial meeting coming up.
All right, Suzanne Clifford on the line as well, Gate Protector Group there at Castletown. And Suzanne, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. Tell us what your role is and what you're doing at the gates at Castletown.
Yeah, good morning, Owen, and thanks for having us on. I guess we've been at the gates. We started here, I mean, this all started with obviously the loss of the interruption of the M4 access that started last September. And the surprise that was dropped on the community for the last minute idea with a car park in the meadow, followed up by 2 weeks later that the Lime Avenue would suddenly become the main vehicular access point, even though it's completely unsuitable for that. The community just got together in an incredible movement, really, a credible moment, and just stood up and just said, no, we're not going to accept this. This is not okay to do this. This is the only amenity that we have in Selbridge that's like this. It's the only place to go get fresh air. It's so important to so many people for mental health reasons. Lime Avenue is the only path that's suitable for people who aren't steady on their feet. It's where we go to take... Our children have all learned to walk up there, learn to ride their bikes. It's a safe space for the community, and it's these amenities that communities absolutely need. They're completely essential. And so we got together and just decided we're going to try and protect that and make sure we're heard. Make sure that, you know, the next decisions that are, you know, that are going to happen at Castletown are going to take into consideration the local communities, and they need to be the right decisions moving forward that work for everybody.
Jay Power then from SIP2, you're the SIP2 official with responsibility for the OPW, and you're overseeing this. What's your standpoint, and where are you coming from on this, Jay?
Well, I mean, I've met with Suzanne and I've met with Trasa at meetings. You know, our position has been consistently clear. Our members want to see what's right for Castletown House done correctly, but they also want to be able to return to work. You know, at the minute, and it has been ongoing for some time, staff have been blocked from driving in and out of work and in a safe and manner. They have been approached. They have been photographed, they've been accosted, there's comments put up on the WhatsApp pages calling them rats. For some reason, the members of the OPW seem to have been targeted as if it's an issue that they are. And these are the men and women who have maintained Castletown House for the last 20 years and brought it up to the amazing standard it is now for the people of Castletown, of Selbridge and the people of Ireland. I'm surprised that people have been talking about allowing essential services. The staff are the essential service. They are what makes Castletown House. They brought the biodiversity up. They have brought the house to an amazing standard.
Okay, yet, just to be clear, Jay, the staff can access Castletown House. They might not be able to drive up, but just to say, they can access the house.
The staff can access the house safely. And this has been documented. There was comments made. There was photos put up on WhatsApp group and all of that. There was an intimidation come out. There was one of the guiding staff going to work one morning, was accosted by two men, asked her where she was going. So I would take, if I was your good self, I would probably make sure that I'd have the full facts on this. It isn't just about driving in and out to work or using active travel. It's about being safely going in and out to work. The members of staff, I mean, some staff cannot use active travel. So I find it a bit disingenuous to say everyone should use active travel. I'm sure there's many people that live in the Selbridge Castletown area that have to drive into Dublin to go to work. You know, I think the active travel thing is a bit of a misnomer. Members of staff do engage with active travel, but there is staff who need to and require vehicular access, and they should be allowed to do that. These are the staff that maintain that grounds. They drive around the children and the elderly on a daily basis to maintain that grounds to the highest standards. We had upward suggestions on windows, but it seems to be that the suggestion go back to that. Not all of the groups involved could agree to this.
Right, just to bring Suzanne back in on this, Suzanne, your response to what Jay has said.
Well, firstly, there's a few issues that he's mentioned. So the protocol that allows essential vehicles to drive up Lime Avenue, it was never meant to target any one particular group. We were told back in September that the house was going to fall into complete disrepair if they didn't get certain vehicles up the avenue to perform tasks on the house. And so we agreed a protocol. So if the vehicle was absolutely essential to perform the task, it would be allowed up Lime Avenue to protect the house, because obviously everybody does want to protect the house and the ground. They want to protect this amenity for ourselves, for future generations. Just an example, so 64 essential vehicles went up the avenue between February and 6th to March the 6th to perform essential maintenance on the house. What we're saying is, where the vehicle is not essential, if you don't have to drive on Lime Avenue, then it'd be better to find other ways. We want the staff to come back. We fully appreciate the fantastic work the staff have done. We've always wanted them to be in the work. They've been affected by the loss of their route into work via the M4. They've been affected by that just as much as we have. So we understand the position, the stress, the frustration that's put under them, under the entire community. But Lime Avenue itself just isn't suitable for vehicles and pedestrians. It's incredibly narrow. It's the only place for people who are not steady on their feet. It's the only place suitable for people in wheelchairs. It's the only place suitable for people pushing buggies. And so it's just not safe. And what we've been asking for months here is to look at alternatives that give the staff the dignity to work that SIT2 have requested, that allow them to access their place of work, but just doesn't increase the number of vehicles on Lime Avenue, because it's just not safe.
Trasa Keegan in studio with us from the Save Castletown Committee to bring you back in.
Well, I have to say I'm sad this morning, Owen. I'm sad to hear this conversation. SIT2 appear to be looking backwards. Whereas the whole community, our five elected representatives in the Dáil and Seanad, and 30,000 people in Selbridge and Leixlip, are looking forward and have been troubleshooting for months now to get to a place where absolutely everybody recognises the importance of the staff, you know. And they are desperately needed back on in the house and on the domain to look after the house and grounds and look after the fabulous collection inside the house. It's really, really, really important. And I'm sad, because it seems that my sense is that SIT2 aren't really across the facts here. And I think that does a great disservice, actually, to their members, because what needs to happen is everybody needs to come together looking at solutions at the moment. And what's happened is that everybody appears to have forgotten that the minute anybody steps foot on Lime Avenue, they are at their place of work, because they are within the grounds from that moment. And so I don't fully understand the rationale that cars should be allowed to drive across an 18th century designed landscape To traverse the extra 800 metres or so of a journey to work. Nobody's suggesting that somebody walks from, I don't know, Castleknock or Strafford to Selbridge, you know. It's just those last few metres. And so another point I want to make is that we're talking about services that are essential, and the SIFTU representative there made the point that staff are essential. Yes, they absolutely are. They absolutely are. They couldn't be more important. But I'll tell you something else. Lime Avenue is also essential. Lime Avenue is also essential. And so we have three delicate, essential things to look after here. But Lime Avenue is one of them.
All right, Jay Power, let's bring you back in then from SIFTU. And the sense that I'm getting from Suzanne and from Trasa is that, unfortunately, the workers are falling in between the cracks here because of what has happened from the OPW. Do you accept that?
No, I don't accept that. Because, you know, Trasa is at the saying that, you know, SIFTU is looking backwards on this. I don't take that at all. I mean, I could kindly point that Trasa was on your show on Wednesday, I believe it was, and she had read comments. She pointed out some actions, I think, that were disingenuous on Trasa's behalf. We are looking forward. There is a compromise here. And there's
such as what? Can you clarify that for me?
Well, she made those accusations, the spurious comments made, and that OPW staff's comments highlighting that there was victimisation seemed to be that it was construed as if we were making it up. It's not being made up. This has been logged. It's been sent over. It's been discussed, you know, that staff were accosted, photographed, staff who had been redeployed to other sites were accosted on the ultimate sites.
Jay, I have to come in there and say, listen.
Hang on. I let you speak. I did not interrupt you also.
All right.
Okay. What I will say is that there is a solution to this, and there always has been a solution, and that is the one with the windows, with regard to allowing staff access for 2 half-hour windows per day, just to get the staff back to work and to get the house and the grounds back open to the standard they belong to. We can't get. We have offered this. We have suggested this. And we have asked kindly that this be done, but we can't get commitment from all of the groups involved.
Have you read the terms of the current proposal, Jay, that's on the table?
What I will say is that the groups in question want to compromise, but their compromise position is there's absolutely no facilities for their staff up and down Lime Avenue. That's not compromise at all.
Right, Trasa.
I have a lot to say to that, actually. On the 15th of November, Jay, you were putting copy of a proposal that the Safe Castletown Committee and all of the community groups made, which satisfied all of the health and safety legislation. It satisfied all of the access and egress needs of the staff. And that was rejected by SIFTU on the basis that the staff wanted to use their cars. Now, my understanding of what SIFTU's role here would be is that your mandate is confined to the four corners of the legislation, which is satisfying health and safety legislation. So, I let you finish. In that context, where a protest is stood down, even the signage is removed, okay, you've got a totally satisfactory, totally safe access and egress offered and denied. And so we're back at a situation where, to your point, we have another proposal on the table, which everybody is working towards. I mean, look, you've got Bernard Durkin apoplectic in Fine Gael parliamentary party meetings. You've got James Lawless using every ounce of his intellect and wit to navigate the technicalities of things. You've got Rhaida Cronin, you know, very much at home with a people's movement. You've got Catherine Murphy doing her thing, extracting information and being across all of the networking on this. You've got Vincent Martin articulating the point so eloquently in the Shannon the other day. And you've got about 30,000 people all hoping, Jay, that the SIFTU members and the entire OPW staff are properly looked after. That's what's on the table at the moment.
Jay,
so
Power,
on what legislative basis is SIFTU keeping staff off-site today? Jay? On what legislative basis?
No, I want to bring you back in, Jay.
Yeah, you keep on having on about legislative. I mean, we're talking about what's right and proper. I mean, you keep sort of, and you've highlighted this at numerous meetings, to have staff the right access to park on site. You were deliberately outsourcing to staff whereby they can't park on site. Where all they want to do is to come in and go to work in a safe and secure manner and to park up. You seem to have the situation whereby it's that staff will not be allowed up there. And you quote legislation on this. Which legislation are you referring to?
I'm talking about the health and safety legislation, and I just want to agree with you wholeheartedly on something, Jim. We do absolutely want the staff back on site. There's no doubt about that, but the fact remains that just because a private landowner closes off your road to work, that doesn't mean the OPW can turn a footpath with 6,000 pedestrians cutting its way right through a bat colony into a road. It's as simple as that. And we have a proposal on the table, and I want to go back to it and make sure, because our objective here is to look after the staff as well as the community. We have to look after everybody here, don't we? We have to look after Castletown House and Domain together, don't we, Jay? So the proposal that's on the table at the moment, the best thing that you could do is pull up a chair beside me and we'll say it together, Minister, open the gate. Because that is the access, that is the access into this proposal, Jay.
OK, bring Jay back in. Jay, respond.
We have always been quite clear on this, and our members have been quite clear in that they have always supported the community on this. From the very get-go, they supported the community. Some of the staff live in the community. They're part of the community.
Absolutely.
And they feel more a part of the community every time that they were in cutting grass or they were doing tours. Some of the language being used by your good selves, and I say that as a WhatsApp group, there was language put up by, despite the utmost provocation, we, the community, are still reasonable people. And understand me, we are going to rip them asunder for their stupidity. I mean, we have also seen situations where staff have been called rats. You know, I know that the Castletown groups were chasing apologies for comments made by OPW. There's no apology over this issue to the staff.
In fairness, Jay, you'd have to do the work of identifying whoever said that.
I can give you the name because I have a screenshot.
Yeah, not on air.
And I can tell you what it's not somebody that's it's certainly not a sentiment that's represented by anybody here today. It's nobody on the Safe Castletown Committee. I can tell you that. And I have to say, I still think, Jay, you're looking back. I mean, here you have 30,000 people, 30,000 people with broken hearts, and everybody lamenting that the OPW staff have become a political football. And in walks Zip2 looking for a five-a-side.
I take very kindly to that statement. You know, our members have been the very beating heart and soul and have made Castletown House what
it is. Yes, they have.
And for them now to be cast aside because of the residents' wants and needs seems to be not looking at the bigger picture here.
Right, let me just bring back in Suzanne Clifford then from the Gate Protector Group. Suzanne, you're on the ground there outside Castletown House. Your response to what you've heard?
A couple of things. Tress has mentioned that Zip2 is looking backwards. Jay keeps referencing messages that were made last September when this all kicked off. I'm not defending those. I'm not nobody deserves to be treated in that respect. But I would also remind him that this was a very high stress situation. Nobody knew what was going on, and people don't always, you know. Some people lash out. They say things they don't really mean. And that's not a sentiment that's there anymore. It is something we've moved on from. And we're talking about, you mentioned, doing what's right and proper. And we want that too. We want the staff to come back. We want everybody, this to work for everybody. But what's right and proper is not driving on a footpath that is essential to so many people for mental health reasons, for exercise. There's a lot of people who can't use the avenue anymore simply because of the number of essential vehicles that are currently using it. They simply can't take the risk. I couldn't take the risk of taking my mother-in-law up there in her wheelchair because what if we're walking up and a big truck's coming the other way? Do we, turn around and go home? We can't move onto the grass. So it is a question of doing what's right and proper. And the other thing I'd say is there's no long-term plan here. We haven't got a long-term understanding of where traffic is supposed to go. We've been told for the local people that use the site to use active travel to the site, which is where there's contact. So for everybody visiting, they've been told active travel, which is where that phrase has come from.
Right.
But there's no long-term strategy. There's no understanding of where this traffic is going to come from in the future. Presumably, they're going to open up the house again to visitors. How's that going to work? Where are coaches supposed to go? All these kind of details. We need to understand what they are so that short-term decisions can be made correctly,
right.
And temporarily.
Let me just go back to Jay because we are tight for time this morning. We've other issues that we need to get to. Jay, the final point that I put to you, and just to bring everybody who might be tuned into this morning that's not aware of the situation, the fact that the M4 access has been closed to traffic is at the core of the issue here. And the point that Trasa is making making is that, okay, the community was frustrated at that. The community are now frustrated and are protesting and protecting the access via the Castletown gate. Could there not be an agreement reached and a solution where that everybody comes together and takes the problem and directs it to the minister and to the OPW directly? Because we seem to now have smaller little individual battles that are going on as opposed to everybody working towards a common goal.
Yeah, and I mean, probably what's been stated there. And as I said, yeah, members have been quite clear in their very vocal support of what in essence is at the heart here, is the joining of the two lands and opening it up to the public. But in the immediate to medium term, the proposal with regards to the windows would allow for air members to access and egress the site safely and with respect, and then to get the gates and get the gates open, get the land back up to where it was, get the biodiversity back to where it was, get the house up to full capability so it's reopening to the public, and not just the people of Selfridge and Castletown, but to the people in Torres Strait. And, I mean, our members have diligently walked through this. They're now broken hearted. They have been scattered to the seven winds because their place of work, they cannot walk to. And I'm surprised that people like Trasa and Suzanne don't take this and don't understand this.
Right, Tras, a final word to you then, yeah, because we are tight.
Thank you. You know, somebody texted in the last time we were on, Owen, you know, and said, does anybody ever ask the staff for a comment, you know? And they actually misquoted the piece in the video where I had said that the needs of a very small number of staff are at the heart of enormous public tension. That's what I had said, and they are. They are needs, and they are at the heart of this tension. I'll tell you something else. That doesn't make them a target. I would like somebody, maybe Situ, to let those staff know that being at the heart of such tension gives enormous power. Enormous power. Do they know how powerful they are? Do they know the power they have to actually save Lyme Avenue? Do they know how desperately they are needed back? And do they know how much we carry their needs in our own hearts every time we walk into a working group? I would really love that the staff know how much love there is out there, from how much respect.
But is there a collective effort needed here? And again, that's the purpose of having the working group everyone
is,
together.
Yeah, the working group is the collective effort. And SIPTU are not a stakeholder in the working group. And so I do question the information that they're able to glean from the OPW. I don't know what that communication channel is like. So I don't know, you know, I can't really blame SIPTU for not being informed. If that communication channel is poor, I don't want to, you know, take guesses there, but I can certainly tell you from my point of view, and Jay, look, you have my number, and if you don't, you know, reach out and get it. Call me if you want to know what's going on in the working group, because we were all talking about getting the staff back to work, and we were all talking about making sure that everything was respected. The entire social media landscape has been transformed with regard to the staff and making sure that online discourse is respectful, as it should be.
Right. Listen, we'll have to leave it there because we've dedicated a lot of time to it this morning and over the last few days. Jay Power, SIPTU official, Suzanne Clifford of the Gate Protector Group, and Trasa Keegan in studio of the Save Castletown Committee. Thanks to you all for joining us, and hopefully discussions can continue, maybe off air, with the relevant groups, and an agreement can be reached. Thanks to you all for joining us. Lots more coming up after these.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, lots of messages coming in on the Castletown House issue. We'll try and catch up on them if we can, but we do have lots more to come on the programme this morning, including Sinn Féin TD Raida Cronin speaking in the Dáil yesterday, raising the issue of Scoilwire in Clane. There's still no additional classroom for autistic children. Raida, welcome to the programme. Why is there a delay, or what's going on here at Scoilwire in Clane?
No, well, there is a delay, and, you know, I had an opportunity to bring up the situation of education and schooling in North Kildare there yesterday with Minister Thomas Byrne, and I took the opportunity, and I wanted to know about the second autism class opening in Skullwearer there in the secondary school in Clane. I've been contacted by a few parents, and parents have told me that the funds and the staff have been approved, and all that's needed now is the building. And there's a serious, serious need for this building. You know, this isn't a question of money. This is a question of the priority, and all that was required was a yes or no answer. The extra classroom, once it's approved, will it be open in September or not? The classroom, you know, it needs to be fully adapted to the children's needs. There's only 6 children in an autism classroom. The current class, autism class, is full. And Skullwearer are to be congratulated for their commitment to, you know, to children, and all the schools that I deal with. They really are to be congratulated with their commitment to their children. And this is the reason why their parents want their children to go to these schools in the first place. But I had PQ's questions in, and I just got the opportunity there to bring up a topical issue. So that's what I did. You know, we have too many children with ASD spending their lives waiting. They go on these long, long waiting lists for assessments of needs, and then they go on another long, long waiting list to get the services that they require. And I dread when parents contact me about their toddler who's autistic, because I know the endless waiting list and the frustration that's ahead of them, and people just don't realise until it happens to them. And we have so many parents and so many children here in North Kildare who are waiting for these waiting day in, day out, waiting for their assessments of need. Then they get a school and they get schoolage and the waiting starts again, even in secondary school. And I really think, Owen, that the dilly-dallying on this extra classroom shows that the lack of concern from the government on children. Like,
right.
Parents,
but just to pick up, Rita.
I love going out and about, and I love meeting parents, and I love talking to people, and I'm doing it now with the local elections. I'm out nearly every night. But parents shouldn't have to contact their TDs for basic services.
Like, yeah, just to pick really up, though, intuitive. Everything is approved for this additional classroom for autistic children at Skullwearer in Clane. So the question is, where is it? Did you get any response from the minister in the Dáil yesterday?
Well, I appreciate the minister coming in to answer my questions, but he spent at least 80% of his time telling me about all the things that they had done so far. And that's great, but every politician will tell you that eaten bread is soon forgotten. You know, the people listening to us now know that, you know, childhood goes in a flash and children and parents shouldn't be spending it waiting. Like, I just want a yes or no answer. I just want to know, will it be ready for kids in September, for children with autism, for autistic kids in September in school? I have a child waiting 1,024 days recently for psychological appointment, and that they were told that they need in 2021. That's a quarter of their lives waiting, and I just don't think that the government takes children seriously enough, whether it's in housing, school places, school bus places, mental health. You know, dental health, scoliosis. We have a strong group of parents with scoliosis and autism. And, you know, you can see it in child homelessness. We have over 4,000. You can see it in the bus place chaos. And I just don't think that the government takes children seriously. Children are not a priority for this current government. And you see it as the problem we have in school, getting school places generally.
Yeah, does Sinn Féin have all the answers, Rita?
Well, we certainly want to roll up our sleeves and get.
But you don't have all the answers.
Well, we do have all the answers. The money is there. The money is there. So all they need to do is sign the dotted line so that the school can order the premises. You know, but when you're talking about children, when you add autism into the mix, it really becomes critical. And I was contacted by, I have to say, hats off to the Parents Campaign Group, because not only when they're effective, they're tenacious, but even when a child eventually gets a school place, the family stays in as a group to keep working for all of the children. And the government could take a leaf out of their book.
Right.
Because the government has encouraged too much Mayfainism, too much individualism, and they put very little mass on what it is actually to work in a community,
okay,
and to work together.
All
so
right.
Hats off to the parents who are campaigning for this extra classroom and this. You know, we have the staff, we have the approval, they have the money. Can we please have this in time for kids?